Too many of us are satisfied with where we are, and a lot of it is based on fear, unnatural fear, and fear of what tomorrow holds, what's going to happen tomorrow, all kinds of things that keep us from what God wants for us. God wants us set free from fear. Listen, it is like a noose around your neck. It is something that God says, in order to move to the next level or the next place in God for this church and for your life, you have to let go of ungodly, unnatural fear. Now, there's another song that's out. It hasn't become my go-to song. Maybe it will soon. But it's called Fear is a Liar. And that is so, so, so true. Fear is a liar. It tells you lies all the time. The enemy is the author of lies. And he wants you to be in a place of fear. I am so far ahead in this message, I need to look at my notes and figure out where I'm supposed to be. But let me just step back for a minute. The authors of this song felt like the Lord showed them that this generation needed to be delivered from fear so that they could move to the next place in God. And part of that fear is fear of somebody knowing you're a believer, fear of telling somebody Jesus loves them. Anybody ever had that kind of fear? Don't raise your hand. We could all have our hands up. We are going to be the church in this day and time. We're going to have to be released from that kind of fear. And that's the vision that they had, that this generation. So whenever you hear this generation, do you think, oh, that's only for the young generation? I'm sorry, I don't feel that way. I feel like I'm still alive, and so I feel like surely my generation must count. Right? So the vision today is get rid of the fear so that you can march forth and do what God called you to. And if you want to hear that word, I want you to say, yay, God, come on. The purpose of this message is not just to set us free from fear, but it's to move us into readiness for revival and harvest. Did you know that what we fear controls us? It might surprise you to know that counselors, having studied research, that counselors will tell you that one of the highest reasons that people see therapists is rooted in some kind of fear. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of financial ruin, fear, all kinds of fears. In the Word of God, at least there are at least 200 instances of people or groups being afraid. Out of 120 or so imperatives that Jesus gave, where he said, do this, do that, a quarter of them had to do with fear, where he said, fear not, or don't be afraid, or take courage. Now, this could be a very, very, very long message, but because of the subject matter, fear, but it's not going to be. And because I want us to focus on the now word of today. I want you to focus on the title of the message, Escape from Fear. Escape from Fear. Pastor Eric, thank you for my graphic. I don't know how to do those. So thank you for doing that. I love it. Escape from Fear. Our first two scriptures are, the first one is Psalm 46, 1 through 3. Have always loved the scripture. I had a pastor that when he prayed so many times, he would start off, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake
with its swelling, we will not fear. People are afraid today. They say this is going to be one of the worst hurricane seasons ever. Don't be afraid. I know we live in Arizona. I don't know if it's possible for us to have a hurricane. But those are the kinds of things that people get afraid of. But God, who is our refuge and strength? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And then, of course, the scripture we all know and we say it all the time, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Love that scripture because it makes me know that this unnatural fear that I have, it didn't come from God. And personally, I don't know about you, but I don't want anything that didn't come from God. Maybe you do. I don't. If it doesn't come from God, then I don't want it, okay? There are actually three kinds of fear, okay? And I was going to talk a little bit more about some of these, but I'm just going to kind of try to run through them quickly. The first two kinds of fear are appropriate kinds of fear and actually healthy, and they are from God. Our Creator gave us healthy emotions, which include love, joy, peace, courage, and healthy fear, which can be a protective mechanism. It's what you teach your children in stranger danger. It's what happens if you're walking in an alley and you see somebody at the end of the alley and he's coming towards you and it's dark. It's the thing that says, turn around and go the other way. It's the thing that says, don't drive 100 miles per hour in Sierra Vista. It's the thing that says, don't jump from a tall building with no safety net. It's the thing that tells little children, don't put your hand on a hot stove. Our grandson, Corey, who is now 21, very hard for me to believe, he used to say when he was maybe 5 or 6 or 7, he used to say, I'm not afraid of anything. His dad was really trying to create a strong, brave young man. But to his grandparents, though, we hoped he wouldn't be so unafraid that he'd try to jump off a roof thinking he was Superman. So it's okay to say you're not afraid of anything, but there are some things that God has created in us, a healthy kind of fear that means this is dangerous, get away from it. I think Pastor Eric in one of his early messages talked about fight or flight, and it's that whole thing that happens in our bodies when we come against something really difficult or hard, and God made us so that if we needed to, our adrenaline starts pumping and our heart starts beating fast. And you've heard of people that in a moment like that were able to lift a car. Now, normally they couldn't lift a car, but that fight or flight mechanism in our bodies is a healthy thing. When you teach your children, if somebody's around you and they're acting creepy, you just yell, stranger danger, or this is not my daddy, or something. We teach our children that because there is a time when fear is a healthy thing. And so in Psalm chapter 56, verses 1 through 3, this is like when King David was fleeing. He was fleeing to Gath to get away from Saul, and he said, be merciful to me, O God, for a man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Say that. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. You didn't say it like you mean it. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Let that become your watchword. In our day and age, you need to be able to say, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Secondly, we need to know about the fear of God. a godly reverent fear that places God in a position where he is deeply honored and worshiped. This is a good thing for your soul. It is a good thing. It is a good thing for you to learn to fear the Lord. When you fear the Lord, it becomes important to you how God feels about you. When you fear the Lord, it is, as you fear the Lord, John Bevere says, you begin to get a revelation of who God really is and what he can really do. You know, we can't just come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and not have a fear of God that says, God, I worship you. I honor you for who you are. I honor you and I thank you. And when we do that, what happens? We begin to live our lives in a different way. We live our lives like he's watching us. We live our lives like what we do and what we say is important. It is important what you do. It is important what you say. It is important what habits you let take over your life. It is important, and a healthy fear of God will put you in a position where, God, you know, if you say I shouldn't have that in my life, I don't want it. Amen. God, if you say that's not good for me, I might think it's good for me, but because I revere you, because I worship you, because I honor who you are, because you know better what's down the road than I do, God, I will let that go. Proverbs 14:27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. When you fear God and are aware of his presence, he gives you a life where there are some things you just won't do. To me, people that use the Lord's name in vain, and I'm sorry, no, I'm actually not sorry if I'm stepping on your toes today, but people that use the Lord's name in vain, I don't feel like they revere or honor the Lord. To me, it doesn't add up. If you revere me, then you acknowledge me as holy, and you will not use my name in vain. Fearing God should keep us from caving into our own sinful nature. Fear God and escape the dread of destructive fear. Do you need to get to that deep place in God? And this is for somebody. Do you need to get to that deep place in God where you are no longer deciding if you really want to be saved? You know, I'm one that got saved about 30 times between 8 and 12 years old because I didn't really understand. I felt like every time I sinned or did something wrong, I had to go back and get saved all over again. But I have to say, since I tasted the rich things of God, I have never had a desire to backslide. Now, I know that's not everybody's story, but if your story is, I'm still trying to decide, can I really be saved? Do I really want to live this kind of life? Can I say to you today, God's love for you is so great. So, so great. And he wants to surround you with his arms of love so that you never, ever want to leave him. If you are one that hasn't made that final, sure decision, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Folks, I'm not turning back. There is nothing back there for me. But if you are if you are in a place in your life where things just haven't seemed to come together, I want to tell you that part of that is based in fear. And God says today, will you let my love cast that fear far from you? Because I want to call you mine. I want to call you my very own. I don't want you back out in the world. I want you to stay in my loving arms because I only have good things for you.
You know, when we fear the Lord, he will transform us. And he will open us up to a pathway in him. The scripture says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. There's another scripture that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Are you trying to figure something out? Anybody ever trying to figure something out? Anybody? Yes, I'm always trying to figure things out. I ask the Lord for so much wisdom. It's like, this is my daily prayer. Wisdom today, please, God, help me. He's the only one that has the wisdom that you need. That you need. That you need. He's the only one. When his great glory comes upon you as you learn to fear him, it will begin to emanate from you. And people in the grocery store will begin to say, you know what? I'm just having a terrible time. I don't know who you are, but I just feel like, and they just tell you their life story. Anybody ever had a stranger tell you their life story? Because something about you made them think you will listen and you might be able to help me. Finally, we need to talk about the kind of fear that we truly need to escape. Isaiah 54:14 says, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Fear comes when we think we have to be in control of what eventually happens to us. It is a negative, ungodly, extreme, destructive fear that leads to panic, anxiety, and can move to hundreds, maybe even thousands, of magnified, irrational, obsessive phobias that have trapped many for years. Do you know the list of phobias grows year after year? It used to be like a few of them, like phobia of spiders and phobia of crowds and phobia. And now there's phobias like for... what was one that I read? Oh, I can't even remember. That's all right. But it was just something like we would call ridiculous. People in God, I don't want to put anybody under any kind of bondage. Heaven forbid. I want you to know that anxiety and phobias can be dealt with in God. In God, in God, he has an escape for you. And today, if you will let it, today can be your escape. The list of negative fears involves so many, many, many things. I don't even want to read them to you in case there's one you hadn't heard of and all of a sudden you think, oh, maybe I am afraid of that. So I'm not going to read my whole long list, okay? You know, that kind of fear takes away our confidence. It takes away our trust. It takes away our hope. It takes away our faith. It feeds doubt, and it steals faith. Satan will start with a little fearful thought. And if we let it go unchecked by the word of God, we find ourselves walking deeper and deeper and deeper. I told you I used to be the queen of that. Man, I could. I mean, when our kids were driving back and forth to ORU, I could imagine every possible kind of accident. And if it wasn't an accident, it was somebody jumping into the car with them and kidnapping them. And one night I let it get so bad that I actually thought I heard a policeman at my front door coming to tell me that my kids were gone. I mean, that's irrational, folks. That is irrational. It started with a little bitty thought. And the little bitty thought was, you know, the kids might be driving too fast, and so I just better pray. Okay, we pray. Okay. Well, now they're driving too fast, and they're not watching signs, and they're getting lost. And now they're driving too fast, and they're not watching signs, and they're getting lost, and somebody was sitting by the side of the road and ambushed them and captured them. Do you see how fear can grow if you let it start with the thought? So we have got to have a basis for getting rid of those thoughts, and I'm going to tell you what it is. Some of you might remember newspapers. Anybody remember newspapers? For those of you that remember newspapers, there is now an e-edition of the newspaper. But anyway, you might remember a woman called Dear Abby or her twin sister Ann Landers. They ran an advice column in two different papers. They're twin sisters. I think they weren't speaking to each other for a while. I thought, how can you give people advice if you're not even speaking to each other? But anyway, they became very wealthy by answering people's questions. And they, too, said that most of their letters through the years involved fear. Fear for health, fear that wealth would be gone, fear for marriage, fear for family, fear of losing job, fear of getting old. I've never feared getting old, and really, it's not that bad. You just kind of get up every day, thank Jesus for another day, eat, go to sleep. There's far too much fear in our world, folks. Actually, there's far too much fear in the church. You will not find fulfillment of God in God if you live in fear, because fear and faith can't exist in the same place, and whatever is without faith is sin. Fear can hold you captive and keep you from God's best. Fear means that we are failing to trust God. When our thoughts and actions are opposed to God and His Word, then we act in fear instead of in faith. Faith receives what Jesus already did. Did you get that? Faith receives what Jesus already did. In these closing moments, I want to tell you some ways to overcome fear. What casts out? Now, this here is, you're going to give me the answer because I know you know it. And any extraneous answers, they will all be drowned out because everybody else is going to give the right answer. Okay? What casts out fear? Come on! That's right. Perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:17 through 18 says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." We're going to talk about that. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. because fear involves torment or punishment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. In other words, if you are still sitting here as a fearful person, there is another level in God where you need to let him just bring his wonderful arms of love and care around you. First of all, you need to accept his great love gift, and that's Jesus. And then after you accept Jesus, you need to accept the great love of God. And once that has happened, you will find that God is able to take your fear from you. This verse helps us to focus on the fact that God's unspeakable love, we can't be separated from it. Do you know how many scriptures I could have added to this message? We could be here till 7 o'clock tonight. We understand that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Do we understand that? There's a scripture that talks about that. And so if we experience that perfected love of God, then we don't have to worry about torment or judgment because God's got us. If God's never told you, I've got you, ask him one day. Say, God, would you just tell me you've got me? I just need to hear those words. When somebody says, I've got you, doesn't that just make you feel like, oh. So if you've never heard God say, I've got you, you pray tonight. You say, God, I just need to hear you say, I've got you. And when God says he's got you, listen. Listen, those fears will vanish away. In Christ, we become strong and courageous because he lives in us. Fear must be overcome. Galatians 2:20 says, this is one of Pastor's favorite verses. Quotes it to me all the time, just like that. It just rolls off his tongue. I get all the ins and me's and life and live, and I get them all mixed up, but he just says it just like that. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When we are born again, I know you all know this. Jesus comes to live in us. Jesus, the Son of God, the one who has no fear, the one who loved us so much that he gave his life for us. Listen, he comes to live in you and give you his life. He doesn't fear, does he? No. Jesus, you live in me. I live in you. So I'm not going to be afraid. Does that make sense to you? I hope it does. I hope it makes sense to you. Because it is the truth. Jesus lives in you. And if he lives in you, fear can't live there too. So what you get to say when fear tries to come, you say, fear, you gotta go. You just have to go. Because Jesus lives in me. And he's not having any part of fear today. So that means I'm not gonna have any part of fear. God help us. He's given us so many. He's given us Jesus. What more could we want or ask for? The third way to overcome fear is to begin to speak out loud or in your spirit. I guess if you're in the line at Safeway and you're afraid, it's probably not a good idea to begin saying,
Thank you, God, that you live in me, and I'm not afraid of these people in here. I'm not afraid of anything. So I would say there are sometimes you need to say it to yourself or say it in your spirit. But there are other times, and I do realize I can get loud. I have not been loud all of my life. I was very quiet when I first met Pastor, but somewhere, somewhere I got loud. And I'm telling you, when I need to declare the word of the Lord, Satan, you better watch out. Because I am not, amen, I am not going to be timid. When it involves my family, my church, my pastors, I'm not going to be quiet. Quiet might be good in some circles. Maybe. But when you're going after the devil who's trying to bring fear to your life, you better stand up and declare Jesus. And you better make it loud. You know, Max Lucado says that fear gives us spiritual dementia. In other words, he says, fear makes us suddenly forget everything God ever did for us. So you know what I start telling the enemy? I start saying, and listen, Jesus saved me. And he saved my husband. And he saved my kids. And listen, he delivered my brother-in-law from depression. And listen, he saved us from a car accident. And listen, I refuse to have spiritual dementia when the enemy is coming after something or someone I love. And I tell you, don't you have spiritual dementia either. You know who God is. You know what he's done for you. Begin to say it out of your own mouth. You cannot forget the good things that God has done for you. You cannot forget that you weren't hungry yesterday. You cannot forget that you had a house to go to and it didn't burn down during the night. You cannot forget that God has kept you in this earth and given you the breath of life. You cannot forget, and you must not forget. If you do, the enemy will take that, and he will use it as a point of reference to make you start to fear. So you need to be able to say, God, you've been faithful. God, you've been so good. God, you're my deliverer. God, you are my hope. God, you are my faith. What would I do without the grace of God? God, you touched me when I was sick. God, you kept my kid from drowning in that swimming pool. God, when everybody else said, I should have been dead, you said no. You said no. And I'm still here. You begin to say from your mouth who God is and who he has been to you. Has he kept you well? Has he kept you safe? That's the way you energize your spiritual weapons, by what you say. Oh, wow. This could go on and on. Phew-y. Psalm 91:2. I don't know how many of you remember years ago, I think it was during the Vietnam War. No, I don't know. It was during a war. But we began to pray Psalm 91. We prayed it over our soldiers. We prayed it over for any situation that needed the safekeeping of God. Psalm 91 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. So you just begin to say who God is. And I'm telling you, fears will start to flee. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Father, we bless you. God is providing an opening of your Red Sea so that you can walk right through it. The message today is because God knows there are things in front of you and behind you that are based in fear, and they are keeping you in bondage. And God says, today you can escape from that fear.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my